It's Advent. We lit the first candle. Our theme this week is hope. It will be followed by themes of peace, love, and joy. One each week for this season of expectation, marking the coming of the Christ child. So what are these lessons? What is this reading from Mark? This is the wrong story. Where is John the Baptist crying in the wilderness, prepare the way? Where is the angel coming to Mary with that perplexing news? This is not the baby Jesus story. This is Jesus, all grown up, talking strange, scary stuff about the Son of Man coming to judge fig trees, staying awake because it could happen at any moment. Advent means to come. But today's lessons seem to be all about dark times, of longing to feel God's presence, of waiting, of uncertainty, not about God actually showing up. What is this about? Did the intern get the wrong lesson? It could happen. Yeah. Or is there more to the story? The story starts today in Isaiah. The people have returned from exile to find their city and their temple destroyed, the place where God dwelled. Things are dark. They can't see God. God's face is hidden, even though it is they who turned away. They long for God to come in power, come in glory. Come, Lord, show your face and end our pain, they cry. It's a lament, like the psalm that follows. Come, Lord, show your face and end our pain. That's not the answer they got. Gathering their fragments of faith, they say, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter." And the people of hope and promise begin to rebuild their temple and to prepare a place for God to come and dwell. To prepare and wait. We asked our littlest Lutherans, the ones that went out with Lindsay, what they thought about waiting. Here, in this Advent devotional that you should get, it's very good, on page 2 are their answers to Lindsay's question, how do you feel when you have to wait for something? And they said this, "I feel sad," said one. "I cry to my mom and dad." "It's hard," said another. "I don't like to wait." "I cry." Waiting can be difficult and even sorrowful for people of all ages, in all times, in all places. Then Lindsay asked them, "What does it mean to prepare?" And they answered, "Wear a coat. Have your bags packed for the trip. Remember underwear." Such practical advice to be prepared. In this difficult gospel from Mark, Jesus is preparing also, preparing to die. You and I have to wait another week for the stories leading to Jesus' birth, because in this text today, Jesus is preparing to die. He is in the last week of his life and ministry. He is preparing his disciples for a dark time, a time when they won't see him anymore. "Keep awake," he tells them. "Keep watching. Be prepared, because God will come sometime." And then he goes to die. Our lesson today comes not on the way to the manger, but on the way to the cross. How do we make sense of this start to Advent? What are we supposed to see? The Gospel of Mark was written 70 years after Jesus' death, the same time as the destruction of the temple for the second time. This time, the rebuilt temple is destroyed by the Romans. It is a dark time. The early Christians longed for Jesus to come. They expected him any moment now, to come in power, to come in glory, like the ancient prophecy from Daniel that starts our lesson today. Come, Lord Jesus, come in victory and might. Come and end your people's pain. That's not the answer they got. But the readers of Mark, like us, were a post-Advent people, a post-resurrection people. They knew the end of the story before they wrote down even the beginning. They knew the end. In the life and ministry of Jesus, they had seen how surprising God can be, how unexpectedly God shows up. They, like us, were learning new ways to see and new places to look for this surprising, unexpected God. To see God born in a manger, yes, absolutely. To see God born in a manger, but even more, to see God revealed most clearly, most fully in the cross. In the cross, hope is not only born. Hope is not only incarnate among us. In the cross, hope is fulfilled. For the people of Mark, that is the heart of the gospel. That is the good news. We start our story of Advent here at the end, already knowing the end, because it is the lens through which we are to see everything else with new eyes. Eyes opened wide by God's incomparable, unfathomable, redeeming love. That is good news. And there's more good news. In the letter of Corinthians, in this funny little opening of the letter, is good news to sustain our hope today. Grace is ours already, writes Paul. Peace, knowledge, strength, gifts of the Spirit, and fellowship in the risen Christ are already ours. We already have everything we need to be prepared for God to come and dwell in us. Remember what the little Lutheran said about being prepared? Pack your bags. Wear a coat. Remember underwear. Underwear, under armor, whatever you want to call it. Paul calls it spiritual armor. He tells us to put it on. It will keep us alert, keep us awake. It will give us eyes of faith so that we too can see what this unexpected God is doing in new places in our lives. Over the next 3 weeks, we will hear the stories, we expect, of preparation for Jesus' birth. We will celebrate the themes of peace and love and joy, gifts of the Spirit. As you hear the familiar stories, hear them anew in light of this text today that reminds us of who we are, a post-Advent people, a post-resurrection people who know the end of Jesus' story, a people reconciled to a loving, surprising God, a people who are learning to see God in unexpected, sometimes even sorrowful places. To see God in others, to see God in ourselves, to see God in the bread broken and the wine poured, in the gifts given to us to share. God is faithful, Paul says. God is faithful. No more waiting. Grace is ours. And so God's people pray, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed.